Wealth, prosperity, and income inequality are powerful issues in this year's presidential election. And the more things change,
the more they stay the same. Because almost 50 years ago, wealth, prosperity, and income inequality were also major issues in the re-election campaign of John F. Kennedy.
Today, the John F. Kennedy Library released 45 hours of privately recorded meetings and phone calls made in the final months of Kennedy's life. And in the tapes, you hear Kennedy asking his political advisors, what's it going to take to make them vote for us?
What is it we have to sell them, Kennedy asks. We hope we have to sell them prosperity, but for the average guy, the prosperity is nil, and the people who really are well off hate our guts.
Joining us now is Tom Putnam, director of the JFK Library. Mr. Putnam, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
So what do we know briefly about why Kennedy made these tapes?
Oh, he started making the tapes after the Bay of Pigs. He was concerned the way the military told that story after the terrible catastrophe. So he started his own secret recordings because he wanted perhaps to write his own memoir, but also really to accurately capture what was happening in the White House.
Well, in that clip that we heard just briefly, he talks about how the Democrats have to, quote, sell voters. I mean, so are we hearing Kennedy, the impassioned leader, or are they calculating political strategists facing re-election?
Well, in these tapes, you hear both. So he talks about Vietnam. You hear him in meetings with Gromyko, but he does have political advisors in the Oval Office. And the one part of the clip that you left out, he does say the average guy's not unprosperous. He's just not very prosperous. And so he's trying to find a way to connect with the average voters to show that in his term in office, the economy was improving. And he wanted to be sure that everyone felt, the benefits of that strong economy.
And I suppose one of the other reasons why he wanted to really connect with the average voter is, for lack of a better way of putting it, Kennedy was part of the 1% of his time. But it's somewhat striking to hear him say that the people who were really well off hated his guts. So
yep.
How much was he and the business community at loggerheads in 62, 63?
Oh, no, they were at loggerheads. And the best example of that is the steel crisis in 1962. So in that crisis, he was worried about inflation. And so he went to the steel executives and said, you know, if I help negotiate a non-inflationary wage agreement with the unions, you know, that'll keep steel prices low. And he did do that, and the unions took a very small increase in wages that year. And then he felt double-crossed by the steel executives because they then turned around and made a dramatic announced a dramatic increase in steel prices. And he really went after them. As a matter of fact, he said, you know, 2 years ago, I asked Americans what they would do for their country. And now we've seen what the steel executives are willing to do. And they rescinded that order. But he was, he was very firm against big business. And he gave a very, I think, interesting and inspiring speech at Yale, where he talked about the relationship between government and big business. He said it was clogged by illusions and platitude. And he said, you know, the real challenge is for us to work together to figure out how we get this economy moving.
To say that the business community was clogged by illusions and platitudes, it's hard to imagine any presidential candidate saying something like that today.
Yeah, it's a fascinating speech. He talks about the economic myths, and he tries to cut through those in this interesting speech he gave at Yale.
Well, another thing that you've pointed out in a column that you wrote in today's Boston Globe is that in 1963, unemployment was at 5.6%, which,
right,
you know, compared to what we have now, sounds like a dream.
Right.
And yet, Kennedy remained concerned about poverty and the lives of people and families who lived either at poverty or close to poverty. How did that issue play out in what would turn out to be the final months of his life?
Well, you know, I think it was the first recognition of this notion of structural poverty, that there were, you know, Kennedy was one who said, you know, rising tide will raise all boats. But he saw the economy moving during his presidency, and yet he still saw these pockets of entrenched poverty. It was also the publication of Michael Harrington's The Other America. So this notion of these poverty throughout the country. And JFK really was struck by the poverty that he saw in West Virginia when he was campaigning in 1960. So he began conversations with his advisors about launching a war on poverty. Of course, it was Lyndon Johnson who really put that into place. But he was very concerned about the issues of economic distribution during
So these 45 hours of recordings right. that the Kennedy Library has released today encompass the final months of President Kennedy's life, all the way up to just 2 days before mm-hmm. his assassination. My last couple questions to you have to do with sort of connecting then and now, because tonight President Obama is giving the 2012 State of the Union address. A lot of people say it's going to amount to a kickoff of his reelection campaign. So I'd like to play one more piece of tape, and it should be familiar to you.
Members of the Congress, the Constitution makes us not rivals for power, but partners for progress. We are all trustees for the American people, custodians of the American heritage. It is my task to report the State of the Union. To improve it is the task of us all.
So that's John F. Kennedy giving the 1962 State of the Union 50 years ago. Tom Putnam, we are in the middle of this presidential campaign. It's already turned quite vitriolic. And yet the issues, as we've been discussing them today, are the same as they were a half century ago. So what lessons do you think Mr. Obama or the person who may end up being his Republican rival could draw from these tapes that have now been released?
Well, first, how refreshing to hear that Boston accent being used in the State of the Union address. I think first, JFK faced some of the same issues that President Obama faces. He had a hard time getting his legislative agenda through Congress. In JFK's case, it was actually members of his own party. There were Southern Democratic leaders who were very conservative and led most of the committee. So I think that comment was, let's agree on some legislation and get it passed. I think that's the first important point. But secondly, and as I ended the op-ed piece, in one of the very last speeches of his life, the night before he passed away, he gave a speech in Houston, and he said the question really is how, as a country, we can be both prosperous and just. How you can get the economy moving, create wealth, but then be sure that the wealth is distributed equally. That's a challenge that faces our country now. We'll always face our country. And really, how President Obama presents his plan and how his Republican opponent presents their plan will likely decide the next election and the future of our nation.
Tom Putnam is the director of the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Thank you.
There's more ahead on Radio Boston. After the break, the difficult decisions and the often litigious process of deciding what to do when the mentally ill refuse medical treatment. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. And we will go out with a little bit more from the 45 hours of private recordings the JFK Library released today. They capture some poignant moments, too, like this one that I especially loved in October of 1963, when President Kennedy was meeting with a Soviet foreign minister and two tiny Kennedys, Caroline and John Jr., come tumbling into the Oval Office.
Say hello to my daughter and son. Come here in a minute. Say hello to the minister.
Hello.
You want to say hello to John?